This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Talk Live, and you can join us here. Bring up whatever you want. We're kicking off the second hour of the show. Phones are open. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Equals Mountaineer.
The Reverend Captain Kickass is also here.
We're going to go into your phone calls here, but for those of you just tuning in, we have been talking about the IRS, according to Reason.com. They are citing a group called Syracuse University's Transactional Records Access Clearinghouse. Sounds like a fun place to work. But they've been digging through IRS records, and they found that 5.5 times virtually everyone else, the taxpayer class with unbelievably high audit rates, were low-income wage earners taking the earned income tax credit. These are the lowest of low-wage earners.
Do they put, like, a number on it, like below what income per year? Are we talking below 30 grand, below 50 grand?
I think in order to get earned income tax credit, you've got to be below, I don't know,
like 20 grand?
I don't do taxes, so I couldn't tell you, but
I mean, that's what I'm asking. Do they put a number on it? Like, what do they consider a low income?
I don't know. You'd have to look up the details on the earned income tax credit. Once you get above a fairly low number, it doesn't apply anymore. But let's go to your phone calls here. We got somebody calling in from Mexico, Puerto Vallarta. Danny is on the line. Danny, welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
What's on your mind tonight?
Oh, not much. We were just talking about your show here, me and Jason Henza.
Hey, all right.
And I just asked him, hey, are they talking about the Sonora thing? And I guess you are not.
Are you talking about the actual war on drugs that has finally erupted down in Mexico? Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, I was driving through that when it was happening
on my
motorcycle. And so I was filming the buses burning, and you know, I put a YouTube video out on it already. But
all right, so for our listeners that don't know, because we did talk about this, I think, 2 nights ago on Free Talk Live, and it's just absolutely insane. Can you kind of recap for our listeners what is going on down there?
Well, so I had no idea what was going on. I'm driving a motorcycle, so I'm not listening. I don't watch TV anyway.
Right.
And I come up on this bus, and it's burning, and I just thought, oh, a truck caught fire. And then a little ways later, there's another truck that caught fire. I'm like, okay, this isn't random.
And then
there's another one, and then a bus and another truck.
And hold on, before you go on, what kind of buses are we talking about here? Are we talking about like a tour bus with,
Buses. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they were hijacking buses and trucks and just, you know, parking them across the road, setting them on fire, cut the road off.
Now, truck, you mean like
and
a semi?
I went as far as I could. I went, you know, I bypassed several roadblocks, and I ended up at the very last roadblock that I could go to, and I end up sleeping, you know, camping in a truck stop. And then the very next morning, I left from the truck stop, and by 10 a.m. I was in Culiacan, where it was all happening, and it was like nothing ever happened. It was like traffic everywhere, people walking, and you know, and I stopped and asked a couple of people, like, hey, how is it? Oh, it's muy tranquilo now. And so, you know, just out of curiosity, I asked the one guy, who do you trust more, the government or the cartel? He says, they're the same.
Nice.
I figured that.
So my understanding is what's going on down there is the at the behest, apparently, of the U.S. government, the Spanish federal police or whoever made an arrest of the son of El Chapo.
Right.
El Chapo, of course, the notorious drug dealer, kingpin guy who got arrested a couple of years ago and was extradited into the United States, currently in prison. So they arrested his son, and that erupted a huge fight between the cartel people and the federal government agents down in Mexico.
So was the cartel trying to break him out of jail?
So this is the second time it happened. It happened a while back, too. I'm not sure what the time frame was, but the violence got so bad then that they just let him go.
Wow.
Wow.
So
there was footage, by the way, Peekless, of a jail under some form of attack. It wasn't clear where it was or when it was or whatever. There's like, you know, one of these things where you just see all these videos coming out. You don't know what's true and what's going on.
Right. I'm just trying to piece together if this is like a tactical assault to get their leadership back in order, or if this is just sort of a punitive measure to be like, don't you mess with us or we'll do all these terrible acts of violence.
Probably a little bit of both.
So are you saying, Danny, that it's calmed down now, that there's not ongoing shooting?
So, you know, I was asking people everywhere I went, like, you know, what's going on? They're like, you know, don't worry about it. That nobody was afraid. None of the people were afraid. They're like, this is between them. Let them hash it out, and it's not a problem. So, you know, one of the first places I had actually stopped was like a roadside shack, and you know, I bought a little bit of food, and they were closing down. They're like, hey, you can stay here inside of our restaurant with your motorcycle if you want. But there was no fear. None of the truckers, nobody was afraid. I mean, I wasn't in Culiacan where all the shooting was going on, but even when I stopped and talked to people in Culiacan, that was the you know, the sentiment that I got from them. Yeah, you know, just stay out of the way.
Interesting. Danny, anything else you want to share tonight about what's going on down there?
Well, the reason why I was heading down here is, you know, Anarch Poco. This is Danny Sesum, you know, I'm working with Anarch Poco.
Oh, is that Danny? Hey, dude. Danny from the formerly of the Crypto Show.
Yeah, well, I still put some out.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know you guys were back.
Yeah, I still put some videos and stuff out. Just I'm more focused on what we're doing with Anarch Poco.
Yeah, what is going on with Anarch Poco? I knew it came back last year. So how, you know, what's the plan for this year? What's
it
looking like?
Well, it never went away. There's never been a year that hasn't happened.
Oh,
yet.
Good. Nice. Good.
Yeah. It scaled down because of the COVID.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just been getting bigger and bigger, and we're taking more of a role in the community, and you know, helping the orphanage and all. You know,
when is it this year? And you know, are you going to be there?
Yeah, I organize the crypto stage now. So
nice.
You know, I've got all the speakers lined up, and we're working on these hydroponic projects for to grow food for the orphanage, so they can grow their own food.
Nice,
and
awesome.
Hopefully have a little less carbs in their diet. And it's been pretty cool that. Just the whole vibe of it has changed a bit since Nathan Freeman is gone, and I'm actually liking it a lot better.
Nice. I miss attending. Unfortunately, I'm on bail conditions now, so I can't leave the country. But it was always a good event.
Yeah, that sucks.
LRN.FM.
On the broadcast radio, Danny, but I do appreciate you calling us up here tonight, man. Thank you for the update. The number here is 603-283-6160. We are doing a radio show still, even though it feels a little more like an internet show. It's still an actual radio show.
We mailed with BS either.
Yeah, me too.
We still fear the FCC like people fear the IRS.
Yeah.
Well, the whole thing has been BS, that's for sure. And, you know, I'm not going to likely walk away with no damage from this. Obviously, I mean, been found guilty now by a jury of my so-called peers, and so.
Funny how your peers are, by definition, people who don't know what Bitcoin is.
Yeah, well, one of them did at least, and he wasn't a fan of it, apparently, from what I understand. But that aside, we'll keep you up to date as that goes on. And
so he's talking about this cartel versus government thing.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I can't help but think like. Oh, so this is what Republican versus Democrat would be like if they were honest.
Like if they actually shot at one another?
Yeah. Right. I mean, they're fighting
they
over
really
control
work together.
Of a government.
They actually
they
work,
usually
together.
Work together.
Yeah.
And at the moment, they're like having a dispute.
Well, I mean, but the difference here, though, is that the cartel doesn't want to be your government. They just want to sell drugs. You know, they're busy doing that thing,
That's
and they
not
want to
true.
Be...
No, okay, so a cartel in general, the way that they operate, includes things like, okay, this person's allowed to sell drugs here.
Mm-hmm.
No one else is allowed
to
sell drugs
in this area.
Okay, that's the same thing as licensure.
I get what you're saying there, but that's only over that one product. They don't want to tell you you can't open a business to sell soda pop or whatever.
Whatever business they're in, they don't want you in.
Well, obviously that's
true. And if a cartel gained enough power, I guarantee that they would be in soda pop.
Well, the problem is soda pop is legal, and so the only way a cartel is going to do business in something is if it's prohibited. So you have the government to blame for the existence of the cartel, but a lot of people, as I understand it, who've lived in areas where there's a cartel presence are sort of like what Danny was talking about there. It's like, hey, you leave them alone, and for the most part, you know, they're going to leave you alone. You probably aren't going to get caught in the crossfire if you're not hanging around with these characters, right? Like, there's they target people specifically, generally. If you hear about the violence, people getting their heads cut off or whatever, all the horrific things that they allegedly do, and it's not like strangers, you know? It's not just randos that they're picking off the streets. You're not going to get kidnapped, likely, by the cartel unless you're a member of a competing cartel. Or the police or something.
Well,
you know?
Or so, if you are selling cannabis in their cannabis selling zone.
That would make you a competing cartel, basically.
I'm not afraid of the Coke cartel. I'm not afraid of the Pepsi cartel. I'm afraid of the Shasta cartel.
Oh, yeah? The Shasta cartel.
Maybe the Sundrop cartel.
Look, I'm not saying the cartel are good guys, right? But I'm not going to say they're as bad as the Mexican government is. The Mexican government presumes to dominate you, just as the federal government in the United States does, on everything that you do. They presume that you owe them some annual percentage of the money that you make, and I've never heard the same thing about the cartels. So,
well, it still reminds me of picking between Democrat and Republican. I mean, you're still picking from one violent gang or another. And sure, one of them is definitely better, and definitely evil.
Do you think that in the absence of governments, drug cartels go away because now they're just businesses?
Definitely. I mean, are there liquor cartels? I mean, beyond the fact that there's still regulations of liquor and still, you know, there's still limitations on who can and can't enter the
industry.
But I mean,
like,
they're
not shooting
even
outside of, like the Mexican drug cartels for it, specifically, I guess, because we're talking about it. If governments didn't exist and everybody's free to trade as they want to, then do the cartels just become business people?
Well, in a free market, cartelization is a transitory problem. And what I mean by that is when you don't have a fully established and socially accepted gang forcing a particular group to be the only ones allowed to do a thing. When you don't have that, yeah, sure, every now and again, some of the big players will get together and do like a price fix. But the reward for breaking that price fix is so high that inevitably one of them does, and then the cartel ends.
Okay. If you want to join the show here, the number is 603-283-6160. If there's any updates on what's going on in Mexico, I'd love to hear about it. Again, it's one of those things where it's hard to really get a real feel. Kind of like the Ukraine situation. There's just random videos coming out, and you don't know if they're from 2014 or if they're from yesterday or what. But the videos that were coming out were pretty crazy with, like, alleged cartel members with heavy weapons shooting, apparently, at helicopters shooting at them, and just, like, wild stuff.
Sounds like warfare to me.
Yeah.
An
actual drug war. Like, normally the other side, the drug side, doesn't fight back, right? Like, normally it's just a war on drugs, where the drugs just keep getting captured and the people that are selling the drugs get captured, and there's usually never any real pushback from the cartel side. You usually don't see much as far as, like, them defending themselves. Usually, you know, they capture a guy, he goes to prison, and that's the end of him, right? He gets replaced by his lieutenants, and then the war, you know, the thing moves on. But here, there was actually bullets and other things being sprayed from both directions.
Now, there is one thing I'd like to point out is that a lot of mafias, and there's really a very little difference between a cartel and a mafia. There's kind
of...
Yeah,
for sure.
Right. So a lot of mafias do shakedowns. You know, nice shop you got here.
Yeah.
Be a shame if something were to happen to it, so I'll protect that for this fee. Which is identical to taxes, with the exception that that is not seen as a moral good by society.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also the exception that the mafia or the cartel is probably more likely to keep their end of the bargain than a government is.
Right.
We can continue here. The number is 603-283-6160. I was just looking to see if there's any other news coming out of Culiacan, which is part of the Sinaloa state in Mexico. That is on the west coast of Mexico, so not quite south of California, but a little ways in. Not southern Mexico, but don't know much else about it. But you're welcome to join us here if you want. So we were talking about the IRS here. Unfortunately, that's something that a lot of people have experience with. And a lot more people than you might want to imagine have experience getting audited by the IRS, including, according to the story here, more likely to be poor people being targeted by the IRS. This is what Reason.com is sharing here. They talk about the Biden administration and others claimed that this so-called Inflation Reduction Act that added the $80 billion to the IRS budget, added the alleged 87,000 new workers, they said this would no way increase audits for those making under $400,000 a year.
Which, of course, means that that's exactly what happened. It did increase, even though they said there's no way it would.
Yeah, they said that the increased capacity meant only those at the top would be targeted, the supporters said. But this ignores how the IRS's incentives work and how agency-wide reform might be too heavy of a lift. Correspondence audits, which are conducted via mail and are the type frequently used when interacting with the poorest of taxpayers, are much easier and cheaper to conduct than other types of audits. Mm-hmm. Plus, the earned income tax credit is easy to get wrong. The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office estimates that the new hires with experience in the field will take almost 3 years of ramp-up time, with more junior new hires taking longer. The lag time between 2022's infusion of funding and legitimately increased capacity will be enormous. If the agency can even snag the best in the industry, when TurboTax and H&R Block will surely be swelling their own ranks. It makes sense that, given a dearth of experienced auditors not likely to be fixed soon, the agency would rely on the easiest and least time-consuming types of audits, which are these correspondence audits. But be suspicious of the idea that an infusion of cash will solve long-standing problems within the IRS. This is, after all, the agency that sent $1.1 billion in child welfare payments to the wrong people over the course of merely 5 months during the pandemic. It's the agency that was hacked in 2015, resulting in the personal information of more than 700,000 taxpayers being compromised. It's the agency that's been foolishly going after Americans who hold $10,000 or more in a foreign bank account since 2010, never mind the fact that many of them are middle-class expatriates and not people with yachts in the Mediterranean. And it's the agency that enabled the richest Americans' intimate financial information to be thumbed through by ProPublica readers. It will take more than a little cash to fix all of this, and as the IRS's competence and tenacity increase, so too will the tenacity of the vast infrastructure of accountants and lawyers hired by the rich to creatively minimize their tax burdens.
Yeah. So, and you gotta love how they shift the rules so that, oh, well, $600, which, like, you know, good luck getting a two-week paycheck that's under $600, yep. Right? Oh, well, $600 moved into a bank account. You better make sure to give us a report of that.
Gotta file those forms.
Now, how many billions of dollars have we sent to Ukraine?
110, I believe, at this
point.
Are
you sure? Because
no
one's sure. No, we're not even going to bother to try to set anyone up to see where any of that money is going, to have the slightest accountability of the billions of dollars that are getting thrown over there.
Yeah,
That would slow down it coming back into the politicians' pockets, as we specifically saw happen through Sam Bankman-Fried.
How about we open up for public scrutiny every politician's personal bank accounts?
Wouldn't that be lovely?
Well, yeah. I mean, if they want to demand,
even if they're not doing anything wrong, they got nothing to hide, right?
Right. Yeah. They should lead by example, right, and turn over the last 7 years of all their bank account records. I think that's a great idea, Captain. I'm sure they're going to propose that.
I'm an idea
this year, right?
Yeah.
They're gonna run with that one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even if they did, which fat chance of that. But even if they did, what usually happens with politicians is they get their job in politics in a position of power. They do all of these favors for all of their political donors, and then after they retire is when they collect all of their money from all of those donors.
Sure.
Through speaking fees.
Yep.
That is my absolute favorite grift.
Oh, I'm a consultant now. Pay me.
Sometimes they just get straight up hired by the corporations for whatever purpose.
Yep, they'll get hired by those corporations, they'll get consultant fees, they'll get speaking fees. Another one of my favorites is the book deals that they get, which no one's buying those books.
Of course.
No one cares what they have to say, but it's a great way to pay them off and make it look legitimate.
I, of course, can't wait for the results of the independent investigation that the government has put upon themselves to find out why so many politicians start out at their whatever their salary is, but then when they get out, they're multimillionaires.
Right.
I can't wait for the results of that independent investigation that the government has put on.
I want to go back to your claim that no one's buying the politicians' books.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't believe it because there are a bunch of people in the United States who are absolutely obsessed. You mentioned Jerome earlier, right? Like, this guy reads and thinks about politics.
He's going to call now. We've summoned him.
I'd be happy to hear from Jerome. I love his calls. But they're constantly obsessed with these political people, and they want to know what they're doing. They want to know what they're thinking. They think they're important. Yeah, don't think so.
For some people, politicians are the equivalent of, like, People magazine.
Right, and so to give you an example,
none are getting sold, but I'm saying that these are drastically inflated numbers.
Maybe so.
And the real numbers of those books getting sold are way lower.
That may be true, but I was in Concord, New Hampshire. There's a bookstore on Main Street there, and this was a few years ago. Vermin Supreme was going to be out there protesting or doing his thing. Mm-hmm. The guy that wears the boot. If you don't know who Vermin Supreme is, you should look him up. He's really entertaining. He's basically a satirist. He's yes. Satirism.
He wears a boot on his head.
Yes, correct.
For those of you who are not familiar with his antics.
And he's been around forever.
He has. He went out there because it was Hillary Clinton's book that she was going to be at this bookstore signing autographs. And, dude, the line went around the block.
Yeah.
And it is a big block. Not completely around, but it went around at least two sides of a humongous block. On a cold day, like it was cold, it was ugly, but these political junkies, these mostly, women were out there in leftist Democrats just standing and waiting for hours.
In defense of the long line of people waiting for Hillary Clinton, they didn't want to meet the Clinton-style demise. So
they didn't want to get killed.
I'm just saying, man. Trail of blood that long, man.
That's not the reason, though. It's funny, Captain, but that's not the reason those people were there. They were there because they wanted to see the royalty. They wanted to touch, to have the chance to have the royalty.
Yeah, people still love their kings and queens, don't
right.
they?
And those are two different things. So it's one thing to, like, and it really is a religious thing. Like, I want you to be in my presence and place your mark upon my property so that a piece of your power and your blessed divineness will be mine to keep. That's one thing. Now,
but they still bought the book.
Sure, because that was the only way to get the signature.
Right.
Now, someone's sitting at home and going on Amazon and going, I really want to know what this politician has to say. Mm-hmm. That is way less common.
It is interesting as like a way of reinforcing statism is to, if you're in England and, the king or queen or, whatever, writes a book, they wrote a book. Here in the U.S., you get, in every so many number of years, a new king or queen. Mm. And so, like, you get a new book every 4 to 8 years or whatever it is.
God, they probably didn't even write it. It's probably a ghostwriter.
Oh, I'm sure.
The number here is 603-283-6160. You can join the show, and we're going to continue. Calls and thoughts are welcome. It's Free Talk Live.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
USA News Update. Finally, the country has a Speaker of the House.
After 4 days and 15 attempts, the clerk announced the results of the wee hours of Saturday morning.
The Honorable Kevin McCarthy of the state of California has received 216.
Republican leader Kevin McCarthy.
And now, the hard work begins.
A 6-year-old student at an elementary school in Newport News pulled out a gun and shot his teacher.
The teacher, who sustained life-threatening injuries, is now listed in stable condition, according to a spokesperson at Riverside Medical Center. James Madison University confirmed that the teacher who was shot is alumna Abby Zwerner. A 6-year-old boy is in custody. Police say the shooting was not accidental. I'm Kenneth Burns.
President Biden will visit the southern border tomorrow. White House National Security spokesperson John Kirby said Biden is eager to talk to local officials and Border Patrol agents in El Paso. Dave Collins, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live, and the phones are open if you want to join us here. Live Saturday show, the number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And it's Ian Pinkles Mountaineer and Captain Kickass here in the studio tonight. You may have heard that a jury has found me guilty of 8 completely victimless nonviolent crimes, so-called crimes. This happened about 2 weeks ago. And
sadly.
You know, we're not happy about it. But it is what it is, and so the next step is sentencing, and that's going to be happening on April 14th, I believe, right before tax day.
Isn't there some motioning there, or does that happen after?
There's a motion in play to dismiss all of the counts that was filed in the middle of the trial,
like right, I remember that.
When the prosecution rested.
Oh, I'm thinking appeals. When do appeals come after sentencing?
Yes.
Okay.
So sentence has to be imposed, and then the appeal can be filed. We are hoping that I'll be able to stay out pending the appeal. There's a good chance of that, as long as I'm able to obey all the restrictions that I'm underneath, and so far hasn't been a problem. So that's what's kind of in play at the moment. If you would like to say a thing to the judge in this case about what you think should happen as far as sentencing is concerned, we do have an address that you can write a letter to, and there's instructions. All you got to do is go to letters.freetalklive.com. It'll take you to a blog post that I made earlier this week. There have already been a large number of people, more than I don't know what I expected, but I definitely appreciate the people that have been reaching out, and it's really nice to hear from people that, you made a difference in their life in some way. So thank you to everybody that has already reached out and is saying kind things or willing to say kind things in a letter to the judge. His name is Joseph LaPlante, And to his credit, and I've said this throughout the trial. This isn't something I'm saying just because, you know, I got found guilty.
Sure.
I said throughout the trial that I felt like he was surprisingly fair for a federal judge. We've all heard the horror stories of federal judges, especially Ross Ulbricht's case, of course, where he just totally got railroaded from top to bottom. Couldn't even put on a defense. We were able to put on our defense. Unfortunately, the jury.
I don't know that he was fair or if he was attempting to appear fair, because there were some things he did that I didn't like. But I think that, yes, based in New Hampshire, you know, he's a New Hampshire guy. I think he's far more likely to at least appear more fair than other federal judges.
He made an effort, I feel like, to do that. And so, you know, he did show that he was able to actually listen and change his mind. Remember when our friend Nobody was in jail? He initially had said he was inclined to keep him there, but he'd be willing to listen to the arguments. And then after he heard the arguments, he changed his mind, and he let him out. So, you know, I think he can be persuaded. What that's going to mean as far as what he's going to do, who knows?
Right.
'Cause but it can't hurt to write a letter, and so if you want to help me out, you can do that. Go to letters.freetalklive.com. If you feel like I have benefited you in some way, or if you think that I've benefited the community in some way and you want to comment about those things, then feel free. Don't use this as a platform to attack, you know, the government or whatever. That's not going to help with sentencing at all. So just keep that in mind. And all that stuff is over at letters.freetalklive.com.
Do we know that he will actually receive them?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's going to be filed by my attorney. So we are collecting them physically. Like, you will mail it once you're done writing it, sign it, put your contact info on it, mail it in, and then it will be submitted by my attorney to the judge.
So, okay.
Yeah, for sure. Good. It'll definitely get to them. All right, so let's go to the phones here. Let's talk to Sarah in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Sarah.
So this your session, they want to make the speeding tickets a criminal offense, that it's going to be changed in their state statute.
Wow. So does that mean they will be a violation or a misdemeanor?
Well, I understand is when this gets passed, it'll be put on the you could go against your insurance points. Points against
it's already happening in a lot of places. If you get enough speeding tickets, you'll get insurance points.
But see, our state, I think it was always just considered like a parking ticket, a traffic ticket.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to also make it so that it also goes on your credit. That's what happens in states like Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, Illinois, Arizona is like that. So, and then this also...
You know, why don't you just go all the way and call for the execution of speeders, Sarah? Wouldn't that solve the problem?
Well, I mean, we don't have to go that far.
Oh, okay.
Why not, Sarah?
But you know something? I don't know if they'd be able to take people to jail. I don't think we're going to go that far in this.
No, they absolutely can. If this is a criminal offense, they can put you in jail for it. Especially if you don't end up paying the price of this. But no, why not just execute people who speed?
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Why? You know what I mean? Why is that ridiculous,
people that
Sarah?
Kill people.
Kidnapping them isn't ridiculous. Torturing them isn't ridiculous. But execution is. Explain why.
You know how many murders that we had in Albuquerque this year? I think maybe 160. We broke the record. And last year we broke the record, and we still have no executions in our state. So wanting execution for speeding camera tickets are ridiculous. I think that what they're talking about, we're not going to even put them in jail. It's just now it's going to go against your driver.
Do you want to see them put in jail? Would you like to see that happen to speeders? Should they go to jail?
Well, it's like that already in other states. I was talking to people from Chicago. They got 60 red light cameras. You tear them out, they will arrest you. You ignore one of those tickets, you blow your nose, throw it in the garbage like they do here.
Mm-hmm.
You got a warrant out for your arrest. They will put you in jail.
And you support them.
How long? You know something? I do.
Okay.
I do. Okay. I was told that.
So jail time for speeding, okay with Sarah. Death penalty goes too far for Sarah. How much jail, though? What's a good amount of jail, do you think, for a speeding ticket? Say going 30 miles over in a 60. You're going 90 miles an hour in a 60.
Now, these are people that refuse to pay, that do not want to appeal themselves in court. Is just, Judge, I did not know I was speeding. I was trying to get to my mother in the hospital. My kid was sick in the school.
You're saying only the people that refuse to pay for the ticket should go to jail, not just any old speeder?
Pay? Or you explain yourself in court. You have to appeal. If you ignore the ticket and then you use it for toilet paper like they've done...
No, but I didn't hear what your answer was.
Well, she's pointing out that it's not just if you don't pay. It's if you don't pay... and the court doesn't forgive you.
Well, if you pay, then you're excused from the court. A lot of people do pay because they don't want to be bothered with going to court, explaining themselves.
So what you're saying is rich people should not have to go to jail for speeding.
Well, I mean, there's hardly no rich people in New Mexico. There's no rich people here.
I'm pretty sure there's rich people there. They own companies or whatever. There's some rich people living in New Mexico. You're saying those people should be able to speed all they want. All they have to do is just pay the tickets, and then it's totally fine.
Well, over here, you could work it off for 4 hours. I mean, if you can't pay, just work for 4 hours.
But you're just. But I just want to clarify. You're okay with that, right? Because you said you support people going to jail for speeding, but you said it's only if they don't pay, and so therefore you want to put poor people behind bars. You don't want to put rich people behind bars.
Well, the thing is, I don't mind because there's not too many. There's rich people are seldom and far between in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Mm-hmm. So most of the people that will pay the ticket and that go to jail will be the poor people that don't want to do 4 hours of work.
And so if you can't afford it, if you can't afford to pay, you're okay with making them a slave for 4 hours.
Well, I mean, yeah, you got to learn your consequences.
No, it's just because they can't pay. They can't afford it. They don't have the money to pay it. You're okay with making them a slave for 4 hours because they're poor.
Well, yeah, if they were speeding.
What if they have bipolar, Sarah, like you? I mean, you say bipolar means you can't work. What if they can't work?
Well, I mean, maybe they'll just have them do stuff like picking up garbage. Why would
Are you saying you can pick up garbage?
Anyway? Well, I mean, but I don't have a car to get a ticket. Most people in Essex
Okay.
But people who are like you and have a car, they should be forced to pick up garbage if they disobey the speeding ticket.
Right. It's a privilege, and it's not a right.
So what you're saying is if you were told...
These people need to know that if you disobey the government, you deserve to be enslaved.
Well, and what you're saying, though, Sarah, is that you could pick up garbage. Even though you say you can't work, you've told us a bunch of times that you cannot possibly work because of your bipolar disorder, and that's why you collect Social Security payments at age 50 or you know whatever you are, 50-something.
53.
Yeah, so...
If it wants to, like, paying off a speeding ticket that I'm not going to get because I don't have a car, why are you accusing me of having a...
No. I'm not accusing you of anything about a car. I'm just saying you're saying you think people with bipolar disorder can pick up garbage, which sounds to me like you could work if you wanted to. You just don't want to work.
Well, it's hard to explain. There's other reasons behind it. But I don't know if those
bikes... It's a load of garbage. Your reason is you just don't want to work. You love having not to work. You love just calling in talk radio all day, every day, talking about the, you know, government stuff that you love and more government penalties and tickets and speeding cameras and collecting a check just to sit around the trailer or the townhouse now.
And how she wants to impose her will upon other people who do things that she doesn't even have herself.
Right. And you want to be as cruel as possible to anyone who is in this other category. I'm not in the category of a driver, but all these other people who are in the other category, do anything you want. Okay, maybe don't kill them, but enslave them, that's fine. Throw them in jail, that's fine. Steal their money, extort them for their money, that's all. That's good. That's actively good to keep them to hurt these people that are in another category that you're not in.
Well, I mean, they have a vehicle speeding. That's a legal weapon. How come they're trying to run me over and kill me?
Well, then why shouldn't they be charged with attempted murder then? Why speeding? And if it's a weapon, manslaughter, vehicular manslaughter every time. Let's get them in prison.
There's no cameras to take a picture, catch these people. It's always hit and run. There's no consequence. They don't.
You have no empathy, do you?
Well, so now there's actually one place where we would agree. if they actually cause damage and they get away with it, that's unacceptable.
Sure.
We agree on that. Yep. But where we disagree is that you think that all of these absolutely cruel things should be done in an attempt to prevent them from causing this damage. And we don't think that you should punish people who haven't damaged anyone.
Thank you, sir.
Well, hold on. Before she goes, I wanted to... She had talked earlier about how she's not on welfare, and I wanted to get a clarification on that.
She calls it something else.
Disability. It's permanent disability. I've been on this since I was 28 years old.
Yeah, that's a kind
welfare,
of welfare.
They cut you up. They have to recertify. You have to prove constantly that you're in need. Over and over again, but I didn't prove until
you're just playing word games, Sarah. It's just a word game. That's all. It's welfare.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a dictionary definition here: financial or other assistance to an individual or family from a state, city, or national government.
That's it. That's what you get.
But it's a different thing. But on things,
it's not a different thing. You're on welfare, Sarah.
You should have made it like this a long time ago.
Sarah, you're just playing legal games. I don't want to talk about the speeding tickets anymore. Let's talk about you. You're just playing legal word games here. Welfare has a definition. What you're on, Social Security quote-unquote disability for your bipolar disorder, is straight-up welfare because you are absolutely capable of working. You just admitted tonight you could pick up garbage if you wanted to.
Four hours a day.
You could get a garbage pickup job.
That's a shift.
Not 4 hours a day, but are you Social
You could,
Security?
Though. Huh? You could.
Are you the one that's running the
Are you crippled?
Security? Well, otherwise we'll have like five.
Sarah, are you crippled?
Homeless.
Huh? Can you walk?
I can walk.
Yeah. Can you move your arms?
You know what? Are you my doctor or something? I do not have to answer your questions. So
no, you don't. You're right. Goodbye. The number here is 603-283-6160. Let's go to Major Payne in Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Major.
I can cure the problem. We'll make the whole world like a trailer park and put speed bumps every 50 feet. And then on the outside of them, I want spikes so you can't go around the speed bumps.
Watch out for the bottle kids.
Mm. Trailer park boys.
Yeah. Oh, man.
All right, Major.
Yeah, I saw a few episodes of them, but I guess I missed that one.
Oh, they're in more than one.
Yeah.
So what's up, man? You called in.
Yep. Oh, you guys were talking earlier about the politicians getting all these book deals and whatnot.
Yeah.
And you don't even got to be a politician. Think of Hunter Biden and his seventh grade $500,000 artworks.
What does that have to do with book deals? I'm sorry, what?
Well, no, some of them get painting deals, some of them get book deals, some of them get
I see. Deals. Well, the claim on the painting thing is that that's money laundering, right? So the idea is that he's got all this, or people have all this money, and they need to be able to give it to him, and so that he sells these art pieces.
Well, and that's my claim. That's my claim on the majority of book deals from politicians. Mm-hmm. I think this is also a way to launder money. It looks clean. It looks like they're providing a good or service that people want, but I don't think that's what's actually happening here.
Major.
Yeah, I totally agree.
All right, man.
Yeah, and you know, since you bring it up, it's one of those things that people don't tend to think about, but like the money laundering aspect of the art world is really what drives the whole thing. Mm. So I mean, like you have these experts that are college educated that they actually don't know anything about art, but they do learn what the tradition of what they're supposed to say about art is. So they can be manipulated to say, oh, well, here's what's in vogue now, and here is what is passé. And the reason for that is because the people who are laundering money need more money to be laundered in this form of art and less money to be laundered in that form of art so that they can, oh, well, this is passé, so this will get sold for a low price. And this is hot now, so this is high culture. This gets sold for a high price so that they can shift this piece of art to this person for cheap and this piece of art to this person for a high price.
Hmm. Thank you, Major, for the call tonight. Appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160. By the way, coming up a little later on, Beard Talk Live, I believe, is set for... What's the episode number?
21.
Well,
yeah, we're going to be legal to drink.
All right.
Finally. That's going to happen tonight, 10:30 Eastern time. You can join these guys and maybe nobody, although he no-showed last night, so I don't know if he's going to be...
Oh, okay.
I don't know if he's around. He didn't respond to me. I hope he's okay.
I hope he hasn't been abducted by aliens again.
Yeah, did he talk about that on the show with you guys?
No.
Not on the show.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, that was weird.
It was really weird. Hope he's okay. Maybe he'll show up tonight. That's 10:30 Eastern time. You can join the captain, join Peakless Mountaineer. Open phones, of course, as well. But no FCC bother us with having to hit the dump button, which we unfortunately had to do earlier tonight. You don't have that FCC, which means a little bit more fun. So check it out tonight, 10:30 Eastern. You can join them over at video.freetalklive.com on our Odyssey channel. Also, watch.freetalklive.com takes you right to the streaming page. That's right where you need to be tonight at 10:30 Eastern.
And where are the archives?
They're in the podcast, actually. You can get
that at freetalklive.com.
That as well, yep. Feeds.freetalklive.com is how you can subscribe to our podcast, and they'll be in there, too. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say I'm tickled pink that Bonnie finally had to... It's sort of a rite of passage, because at some point you get so excited that you break an FCC rule and have to get dumped.
She did this week.
Bonnie
dumps.
Yeah.
F-bomb.
Nice.
She was not effing around when she decided to... It's kind of like a rite of passage to me.
Happens to everybody. You had something, Peakless, regarding the IRS here tonight as well. So not only are they targeting poor people, the poorest of the poor, more often than anyone else, which is, of course, what they've always done, because they're easy targets. And this is a criminal enterprise. It's a criminal gang of bullies that are going to take advantage of people.
Yeah, the IRS is the actual bullies, right? The politicians and the legislatures, they write all these things on paper that say things, but it's the people who enforce the things.
The cops and the IRS, yeah.
That are the actual bullies. And so the IRS, anybody who works for the IRS, you're a freaking bully.
Yeah, absolutely right.
So what else are they doing? Because it's not just targeting poor people.
Yeah, well, so the IRS, I've got a couple of things here. One of them is they see crypto companies as potential crime-fighting partners, which you got to love the way that they're phrased.
First of all, the IRS does not fight crime. They commit crime.
Mm. Right. Right. They are not the Justice League. They are the evil League
of
Evil.
Crime fighters. Anybody working for the IRS, if you believe you're a crime fighter, you're freaking delusional.
No doubt. They actually create crime, too, that never existed before, like in the Crypto 6 case, where they sent an undercover agent into our community to then pretend like he was a heroin dealer and then try to get me to sell Bitcoin to him, which I refused to do, and they still charged me anyway with money laundering, and the jury found me guilty of it. So, like, that wasn't even an actual thing that happened, but I still got charged with it.
Yeah.
And a lot of cases, it works on people, right? Like, in a lot of cases when because they do this all the time.
Yeah.
And, in fact, I knew that they did it all the time. I was aware of the fact that they did this, so I was like, okay, this guy's probably a fed when he talked about how he was a heroin dealer.
Right, yeah.
And so, like, red alert, okay, likely undercover agent here, because in every other case with an online Bitcoin seller, they always send this guy or one of his buddies or someone in the undercover department, and they always claim to be a heroin dealer. Like, it's the exact same setup every time.
Wow.
And a lot of times it works, right? Like, a lot of times, and I think the best example of this is the fact that usually these guys that are selling Bitcoins are doing it alone, right? They don't have a meetup that they're going to regularly. So this guy, he never got me alone. And he's a scary-looking dude. I mean, if you saw him on the stand, like, he's this Belarusian, you know, thug, basically. And he looks like, you know, he's a big dude, right? This guy, if you're in a car alone with him and he's wanting to buy Bitcoin from you, and he's bought from you a couple times before, and now he says he's a heroin dealer, and he's ready to buy his $20,000 worth of Bitcoin from you.
Right.
You might feel like this is an offer you can't refuse.
It might be a little intimidating to say no to a Belarusian thug that's in your car and you're all alone in some parking lot or something like that, right? In our case, he was at a public meeting. We were all hanging out together at Central Square in New Hampshire. So, you know, it was easy to just ignore him and, you know, not do anything about it. And then later on, I, of course, told him no when he pressed me on Instant Messenger, but that wasn't enough. They still charged me with money laundering.
Yeah.
So it's just crazy what these people are doing.
Well, it's obvious the reason that it's always heroin. Because even cocaine has a certain amount of social acceptance at this point. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, well, yeah, you know.
Especially amongst law enforcement.
Those Wolf of Wall Street people do it, and, like, all these business people do it, and these politicians might be on it. And, like, there's a level of acceptance to it.
Lawyers love cocaine.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm told.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cannabis has general acceptance through most of the population at this point, but heroin destroys people's lives pretty much exclusively. Like, there is almost no one who can use that responsibly, and certainly it is not expected that anyone can use that responsibly in the general public.
Sure.
So they pose as a heroin dealer so that they can say, see, this guy's dealing with heroin dealers. He's part of the heroin dealership.
Right, it looks bad in front of a jury.
Exactly.
In that case.
Yep.
So they're just making up stuff. Making up crimes, quote unquote.
Yeah. But yeah, the amazing thing to me on this is just how it's a complete 180. I mean, the whole time it's been like, no, this is used by criminals. This is all about crime.
Crypto, you're talking about.
Yeah. That. Yeah. Crypto is all about crime, and it's how they launder their money. And, like, I mean, we've been saying since the beginning, like, Bitcoin? No, Bitcoin is not a way to launder money. Like, the fact of the matter is that it leaves a permanent record.
Mm-hmm.
A permanent record that can be seen by anyone on Earth. Now, whether or not you have this particular wallet associated with this individual, that's a question. But once you do have that, there is a permanent record
sure.
that this time, this wallet sent this amount of Bitcoin, and that will never, ever go away. And then you can find out, okay, well, this wallet that got sent to, here's the wallets that they're dealing with. And they finally figured that out, or at least finally started announcing that they have figured out that, hey, we could use this to track down all these criminals. So even the IRS has turned their story to saying, oh, well, maybe crypto isn't actually this big boogeyman that is only used for drug dealers and hiring hitmen, mm-hmm. but hey, this could be the tool that we use. Now, the unfortunate part of this is that it does play into, you know, some people believe that that Bitcoin is fundamentally a tool of the establishment. The CIA invented it as a way of tracking us all.
I don't buy it. I don't buy that either.
Yeah, yeah, they are not likely to have invented a thing that could cut their own...
If that were true, CBDCs wouldn't even be a thing.
Right. Exactly right.
So, the IRS wants to team up with cryptocurrency exchanges here. We're going to find out about that on the way. You can bring up whatever's on your mind. Hour number three coming up here. The number 603-283-6160. This is Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.